Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, things are volatile in Ukraine. I want to talk about that. I'm going to give you an update on where we are as of about half an hour ago. And then we're going to talk about where we're going from here and the historical context of this. Late yesterday, Putin said he was recognizing, in a diplomatic sense, key regions of Ukraine's eastern territory in the Donbass. Donbass is a territory of Ukraine. It's part of Ukraine. The two areas that he's recognizing as independent states are Donetsk, D-O-N-E-T-S-K, the Donetsk People's Republic. And the other one is the Luhansk People's Republic, L-U-H-A-N-S-K. These words go back to Stalin, back in the 30s, one of the biggest murderers in history, killed more than 20 million people. The idea being people's republics. He says he's going to recognize them. He's going to present it to the Russian Duma. That's their parliament. Of course, they're all in his pocket. They voted against it, their families would be thrown in jail. And then he is signing a decree to recognize them. And that occurred. Now, he also, very late yesterday, said he's ordering Russian troops, regular army troops, not commandos, paramilitaries who are regular army troops that just put on different uniforms, but they're going to go in their uniforms into Ukraine. They're going to cross the border. Many of them are already there dressed as insurgents. They put on like green gabardine. Everybody knows they're Russian army. Now they're going in their uniforms, defying what Biden and the NATO and the EU said. Biden initially responded immediately with limited sanctions directed against Donetsk and Luhansk because they've been taken over by separatists and by Russia. The Ukrainians have no control over their economies right now. And this these sanctions prohibit investment, prohibit transactions, trade, and financing by anybody connected to the United States, any business, any bank, anybody, to or from anybody or any company in Donetsk and Luhansk. Okay, that's something. It's not much in my view. That's something. But there are crippling sanctions that have been threatened. And let me go over what some of them are, and then I'll go over the real serious sanctions. The crippling sanctions that have been apparently signed off on by the other NATO countries are crippling Russia's banking sector, restricting Russian access to semiconductors, and targeting Putin and about 20 oligarchs who have stolen a lot of the wealth of Russia and now want to steal the wealth of Ukraine personally. And I'm going to get into what that means. What is apparently not on the table yet, and that is because Germany has vetoed it and we don't want to go ahead without support of all the major NATO partners, is removing Russia from the SWIFT system, the Society of Worldwide International Financial Transactions, something like, I don't know, 12,000 banks, all the big boys all around the world, everybody who's everybody, over 200 countries. You can't have a banking system if you are not part of SWIFT. It facilitates transactions instantly. You can't bank without it. If we removed Russia from SWIFT, if somebody writes a check in Siberia or Moscow or St. Petersburg, good luck. Good luck getting it paid. And semiconductors, there is a provision by law. We are the primary manufacturer of semiconductors. Taiwan makes some of them, and they've also said that they will obey American law. Says that there are restrictions when we sell them to even a friendly country, that they can't resell them to anybody else if we do not permit it. If we put Russia on the blacklist for semiconductors, the way we have North Korea, the way we have Iran, even if we sell to Germany, France, Britain, Taiwan, where Taiwan even makes them, Japan, they can't then supply Russia. Well, they would be cut off. And they say they won't. If Russia doesn't get semiconductors, that will eventually cripple their military, even immediately, and also their major manufacturing. And what does it mean to target Putin and the oligarchs? You might think, well, that's a no-brainer. Why didn't we target him a long time ago? If you target people, targeting a head of state is a very serious matter normally, not when he's acting like Hitler in Czechoslovakia in 1939, but normally it would be a very big deal. What it is, first of all, you publicize every aspect of their financial DNA, every aspect of their financial affairs. Putin has stolen hundreds of billions of dollars in Russia. And he's done it with the complicity of about 20 oligarchs who've stolen tens of billions of dollars. And he can't do anything without involving them or he'd be assassinated. What he worries about more than anything is a popular uprising and he being dragged into the square and hanged the way Ceaușescu of Romania and his wife were hanged on Christmas Day in Romania in 1988. Very cold. Strongly disagree with hanging anybody on Christmas Day. Normally, I don't like to see anybody hanged. If it were Putin or the Ceaușescus, I defer to local sentiment. However, that's not going to happen to Putin because he has these oligarchs who have their private armies and they brutalize their own people. To target them, you'd have their names and pictures worldwide with every aspect of what they have stolen. You would prohibit any bank, any business from doing business with them if they try to unload their money that they stole. For instance, London right now in some parts of Europe is known as Londongrad, like Leningrad. Why do they call it Londongrad? Because London permits these Russian oligarchs to have British citizenship and come in there and launder their money because Britain gets a slice. In Manhattan, you will occasionally, real estate in Manhattan is very expensive. There was an apartment that went there for $250 million. I did not misspeak, $250 million. It's a beautiful apartment, a very big one, it's a penthouse. That's a lot of cabbage for a condo, okay? What happens is these Russian oligarchs come in and they offer cash. And they buy these things up even in Manhattan. They do it a lot more in London. And then they don't have to explain the cash anymore. They have real estate asset. And they lay in the weeds and then eventually they sell it and they can show a trail of where the money came from. Trump was part of this. Trump owned a property in Palm Beach, and he was underwater on debt to Deutsche Bank, and he put it up for sale. It was a $50 million property, and a Russian came in close to Putin and said, I'll give you $100 million, double the amount. He winked, Trump winked, took the $100 million, and used part of it to pay off his debt to Deutsche Bank. So a Russian oligarch had a $50 million property that he paid $100 million for, and you'd think, well, maybe he'll spruce it up, turn the hotel, make some money. No. He tore it down. He tore it down. He didn't use it at all. This is what the Russians are doing. The Russians were communist up and through Gorbachev till about 1990, 91. Gorbachev was very forward-looking. He picked Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin, who was not a communist, and there was a democracy, and he headed Russia for about 10 years. And that is the only golden age of Russian democracy since the 10th century. In the 10th century, time of the baptism of Rus, we'll talk about that later in 988, Russia was a forest inhabited by wolves. Ukraine was more civilized. Over the following 1,000 years, the Tsar system, serfs, they inflicted a lot of injury and misery on a lot of people. Ends with communism after the First World War, Lenin, Stalin, Khrushchev, the rest of them. Still brutalizing people. People are used to being brutalized over there. I was in Russia in 1997 with a delegation from the Justice Department. We were speaking with Russian legislators, prosecutors, lawyers about our system. That was the height of detente with Russia. It was a sunny time. Guy came up to me after one of these lectures, and I had praised Russian literature and music because I think highly of Pushkin, Dostoevsky, Tchaikovsky. He came up and he said, Mr. Flynn, you had many fine things to say about Russia, but if that's true, why are we so backward? Russia's very insecure. And what I said to him, I liked the guy. It was a sad thing. And I said, look, you're potentially a great country, you have great literature. You were great in mathematics. I didn't tell him it was in the 19th century. And you were great in music. I didn't tell him it was in the 19th century. And you could be again. And you are in a bad neighborhood. Frankly, you have China on the east. You have Islamic countries on the south. Everybody's trying to break in and steal everybody's action and kill them and oppress them. And you don't have oceans protecting you the way we do. So good luck to you, my friend. I don't know how much that I don't know if that made him feel better. But that's what I told them. That is what I told them. This is a country, its golden age is the late 19th century. Pushkin, Dostoevsky, Tchaikovsky, the rest of them. And since then, they've done nothing but spread communism and organized crime, except for the 1990s. This clown Putin, when he says, we need security. Security for what? Russia under Putin is a glioblastoma, it's a chancre, it's a choriocarcinoma, it's an open wound straddling Asia and Europe, and it has nuclear weapons. It's a gas station, wants to play with the big boys. What do they need security for? To spread thefts by Putin and the autocrats into Eastern Europe? Eventually they want Poland back, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. And they'll bring what? Tired of hearing about Pushkin and Dostoevsky. That was 150 years ago. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.